From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of November 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the organization that licenses commodity brokers is asking CME Group whether or not it should reconsider insuring customer funds. An EIA report suggests the ethanol blend wall, well, it's been reached, and OECD is warning policymakers around the world to prepare for the worst as it relates to the spread of the European debt crisis. Dave Dickey will have all the details of these stories a bit later in the half hour. And then I'll give you a little better news. A Purdue ag economist is predicting next year could be the best year in the high-priced feed era for hog producers. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. December contract for the soft red winter wheat at $5.74¾, up a quarter. The July contract, $6.22¼, up 4½¢. Hard red down a penny and a quarter in Kansas City at $6.67¼. From the corn pit, December contract in Chicago, $5.91¾, up 9¼. March at $5.98½, up 8½. In the May future, $6.05¼ a bushel, up 8¼. July corn, $6.09, 9¾ higher in December contract of next year, a gain of a dime, up 10 cents at $5.45½. January beans, $11.21, 14½¢ higher. The March at $11.31 a bushel, up 15¼. May contract, $11.40¾, up 16¼. July soybeans, $11.50, 17 cents higher. And November futures at $11.36, up 16½. December bean meal futures at $2.87.80, up 5¢. December soybean oil at $48.91, 68 higher for the day. Live cattle, December at $120.95, down 15. January feeders at $144.72½, up a dime. And December lean hog, 75 lower at $87.55. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. January crude oil futures, $97.75 a barrel, up 98 cents. Ethanol at $2.47⅛, up 4¼¢. Natural gas for the day, 17¢/0.7¢ lower at $3.65½. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.96¢, up 3¢/0.6¢. Gold futures for the day at $1,710.80 an ounce, $25.30 higher. The Dow at 11,496, just about 265 points higher. And the dollar at 79.26 is down 0.42. The CRB index stands at 307.96, 2.51 higher. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area as it comes from the National Weather Service. A 30% chance of rain this afternoon. It'll be cloudy with a high of 42 degrees. Northeast winds at 15 to 17. They'll gust all the way to 22 and bring more rain this evening with a low of just 36 degrees. It'll remain breezy with a north-northeast wind between 17 and 21, gusting to 26. The chance of precipitation this evening for the immediate area set at 90%. Tomorrow, rain before noon, then rain possibly mixed with snow, a high near 41 degrees. Breezy with a north-northwest wind at around 23 miles an hour, gusting to 32. The chance of precipitation tomorrow at 80%, little or no snow accumulation actually expected. And then Tuesday night, a chance of rain and snow before midnight, a chance of snow, cloudy and gradually becoming partly cloudy, a low of 28. It'll be blustery with a north-northwest wind at 14 to 23, gusting as high as 30. The chance of precipitation on Tuesday evening set at 50%. And Wednesday, finally, sunny skies, a high near 40 degrees. A bigger look, at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I hope you had a good holiday. I took the Friday holiday off and didn't pay too much attention to what was happening to the market then. Why don't you recap Friday and last night's trading today for me, please?
Well, Friday we saw some additional follow-through selling, some liquidation. Open interest has been going down, just a lack of really enthusiasm in the marketplace. Didn't see any sales announcement big anywhere, and so put the trade on the defensive. And over the weekend, a little bit change of attitude. I don't know if everybody got goodbye on Black Friday or what, but the buying enthusiasm was back into the marketplace. Ideas that we'll see some business take place here on this price break gave some encouragement to be a buyer. World news a little bit more stable. Of course, that changes every 24 hours, but at least over the weekend here, there's a little bit more positive outlook from the European situation. So you combine all that together, we're able to trade higher and close higher today. Now the key is to be able to stay above the lows we made there Friday, Todd.
And you think that will happen? And tell me what those lows really mean and what they look like on the charts.
Well, if you look at the momentum indicators, we'll kink those up. We were extremely oversold, mm-hmm. So we're due for a good old-fashioned short-covering bounce. If you're a cycle guy, it's a little early, but we are due for a 7 to 8 week cycle low here in the grain complex. Along with the corn chart there, most of the contracts are in position here to sort of record a double bottom here from the lows we made there 1st of October. Now, it's just the ability for the bull to convince everybody else that this is how it's going to happen. But we're hanging our hat on the old saying that, you know, if the bears get Thanksgiving, the bulls will have Christmas.
All right. So tell me about the troughs from cycle low to cycle low just a bit, because normally those come on pretty regular cycles, and they don't move often. So if you shorten them up, what does it mean?
Well, that's the thing with the commodity fund activity and the world of financial situation. It's been kind of hard to get the cycles to work. But over the years, it stretches out over to a on corn. You really can get the 10 to 20 and so forth to work week low from low. In the beans, it's been the 8 to 9, 16, 32, and so forth. From low to low. But like I say, it's been kind of hard to get those to work, but it appears now that maybe that these cycles will catch here and give us some type of recovery. Not saying a major low's in, we're going to highs, but we ought to be able to retrace half of what we've given up here over the last 2 to 3 weeks.
We need some fundamental news that says that this is really the case. Is there anything out there that says we should stabilize?
Well, I got bearish last week, so...
Fundamentally, if you're bearish, then it must be going the other way, right?
A little bit contrarian. But no, fundamentally, we need to see some sales announced. We need to see a little bit more weather concerns in the southern hemisphere. There are some problems in Australia. Over the weekend, they've gotten too much rain in one of their southern regions there. So we need to give the trade some enthusiasm, reason to step up. When you go back in the last couple of years, 2008, the big talk was need to be in the commodities, need to trade corn. Last summer, same type of enthusiasm, need to be in the commodities and need to be long corn, beans, and wheat. That enthusiasm is not there. It's not so-called cool to be trading the commodity market right now. We don't have that outside interest right at the moment here, so we need some type of fundamental event here to bring back the speculating money to move the market higher. Otherwise, we're going to hang on the fundamentals, and demand is just sort of routine, And, in fact, we're behind last year's pace on exports.
Yeah, speaking of which, can you bring those numbers up from this morning? Last week, we talked about the export inspections a great deal on Monday, which were really, really pretty dismal. What did they look like this week?
On the wheat, they were looking for shipments to be anywhere from 14 to 18 million bushel. It came in at 15.3. Corn, they were looking for 23 to 32 million. We shipped out 30.5 million bushels. And the beans, they were looking for shipments to be 38 to 46, and we came in at 41.4. Now, you know, when you look at those numbers, they aren't bad, but when you go to a year ago, we're 60 million bushels behind last year's pace and 200 million bushels behind last year's pace in the beans. So the urgency is to keep the sales highs, which we see those numbers Thursday mornings, and keep the shipment number high, which we see regularly Monday at mornings at 10 o'clock time.
Okay, so now bring me back to the commodity markets, cash actually side of this. Talk to me about sales producers might be considering and at what levels if we actually make a run to the higher side more than we have already today.
If we can hold these lows here, I can just use some simple retracement numbers. I'll be halfway back up to the highs we made there. First part of November, we put March corn around 632, so we're talking about another 30 cents higher if that would happen. And beans, halfway back up to the high we made here about 2 weeks ago, put beans about 1154 in the January, which would be about 30 cents higher there. Those would be some objectives to shoot for here over the near term. We feel that the cash is going to stay firm here for a while. If you look at the December futures contract versus the March, that spread has been narrowing dramatically. We're about 6.75 cents between the two. It wasn't a couple weeks ago here. We were as much as 13, 14 cents, which indicates strong cash demand here up front in the corn market, and I would expect deliveries Wednesday morning to be virtually zero.
All right. Thanks so much. And we look forward to talking to you again next week.
Very good. Take care. Thanks.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. And if you'd like to hear Kurt again, you can always do that on our website at WILLAG.org or on your smartphone on our mobile website. The address for that one is m.willag.org. Or you can just call this number, 217-244-3434. That's 217-333. I'm sorry, 217-333-3434. We update that one at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day with either the opening or the closing numbers and a bit of analysis. It's all a part of the service from WILLAG.org. Your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, will be here in just about a minute or so with an update of today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Support comes from the Farm Doc Project at the University of Illinois, holding a series of five Illinois Farm Economics Summit meetings December 12th through the 16th to discuss and analyze the most pressing economic issues facing Illinois producers. Registration and details on their website, farmdoc.illinois.edu.
In agricultural news, the National Futures Association says that the collapse last month of MF Global Holdings and hundreds of millions of dollars of still missing customer money is forcing a rethink of a 1986 industry decision not to insure customer funds in a broker default. Executives at NFA have been talking with senior management at CME Group and other market participants about how best to safeguard customer funds in future broker bankruptcies. Under discussion is the feasibility of a government-sponsored insurance fund modeled after the Securities Investor Protection Corporation. Another option is an industry-sponsored bailout fund. A report by the U.S. Energy Information Administration today says that the United States may have already reached what has been long dubbed the ethanol blend wall. The report says the blend wall has been reached because gasoline demand has stayed flat during the past 2 years, while fuel ethanol consumption has been rising. U.S. ethanol exports rose in 2010 and this year, while imports are falling, which signals the domestic market is saturated. Average U.S. ethanol exports rose by almost 800,000 barrels per month in 2010, with a strong trend upward in the latter half of the year. That trend continued in early 2011 as exports climbed from just under 1.5 million barrels of total ethanol exports for both January and February to more than 3 million barrels of exports in July. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development today says that policymakers around the world must be prepared to face the worst as the economic impact of Europe's debt crisis threatens to spread around the developed world. The Paris-based OECD says in its latest economic outlook that continued failure by EU leaders to stem the debt crisis that has spread from Greece to much bigger Italy could massively escalate economic disruption. The half-year update also recommended urgently to boost the EU bailout fund and called on Europe's central bank to do more to stem the crisis. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up next, the pork industry is expected to have a profitable year in 2012. In fact, as you'll hear, it could be the best year for the industry in the last five. 2012 could be the best of the last half dozen years in the pork industry. Profitability looks to be up even in the face of high-priced feed. And profits in 2012 could top $17 a head, says Purdue Extension Ag Economist Chris Hurt. It would be the highest level since 2006.
That was the last of the low-price feed era. And in that year, U.S. corn prices received by farmers averaged about $2.30 a bushel for the calendar year, with hog profits estimated at $27 per head.
And while a return to profitability is welcome news, there are deeper and more important implications, says Hurt.
The first is that the pork industry, like most other animal industries, has finally made the adjustments necessary to live in a world of high-priced feed. The second is that the pork industry probably has turned the corner on high feed prices. As one looks to 2012, we see some bearish signs. We have abundant and cheap feed wheat. We have prospects for moderation in the growth of corn use for ethanol. And we see certainly a potential for a larger South American soybean crop. And of course, the hope for a return to higher U.S. corn and soybean yields next year.
All those factors could make the price of feed more affordable, if still higher priced than the historical averages. The pork industry had a difficult road making the transition to the high feed price era, as did all animal industries. High feed prices and recessions in 2008 and 9 and H1N1, unfortunately termed swine flu, led to large losses in 2008 and 9, estimated at $17 and $24 a head, respectively. These large financial losses, says Purdue's Hurt, resulted in some downsizing of the industry through discouragement and bankruptcy.
As a result of downsizing and robust pork buying from foreign countries, the amount of pork that's available to U.S. consumers will drop from about 51 pounds per person back in 2007 to around just 46 pounds in 2012. This 9% reduction in per capita supply has enabled retail pork prices to rise from $2.87 a pound in 2007 to $3.43 a pound this year in 2011. That's a 20% increase.
So the large loss years of 2008 and 9 will finally be offset by more profitable years in 2010, 11, and probably 12. Hog producers would say this in a different way. It's taken 3 years just to get back the money lost in the two bad years when feed prices moved sharply higher.
Another way to look at this is to say that the pork industry has now adjusted to $7 a bushel corn, such that they can break even if cash corn prices stay at the $7 level. And of course, if they're below $7, pork producers should be able to make some money. Current prospects for cash corn prices that are now down in the lower $6 range over the coming 9 months or so is a primary reason for what looks like better profit opportunities for 2012.
Hog prices are expected to trade in the mid-$60 level this winter and then improve to the very low 70s in the second quarter, that on a live weight basis. Prices should then moderate a few dollars in the third quarter, says Chris Hurt, and fall into the mid-50s for the final quarter of 2012. By the end of 2012, signs of pork expansion may begin to lower prices, and those lower prices would be expected to extend into 2013. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Something that I ignored a bit earlier in the broadcast is that the USDA and RMA have announced that they will re-rate corn and soybean crop insurance premiums for the 2012 year, and that means a drop in crop insurance premiums for corn of about 7 cents, according to USDA, or 7%, that is, and 9% for soybeans. I have not seen the maps, but I would suspect that Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, the larger producing states in the Midwest will have larger drops, certainly, than the states that are in the outlying areas, as those states, the ones here right here locally, have been carrying the bulk of the crop insurance premiums. Now let's take a look at the cash grain market. On the phone line with us, Brian Stark, who is with the Andersons from Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I suppose producers have been calling today just thinking I've been on holiday for 4 or 5 days as the Thanksgiving holiday went through, and I'd like to know what's happening in the marketplace. What have you been telling them?
Well, the biggest thing, obviously, has been macro influences for the better part of the last month to month and a half, it seems, and we took a little bit of a positive spin late last night on word that the IMF had agreed to make a sizable loan to Italy in the tune of $800 billion. They denied that this morning. There was also talk that the French and German were working on a new overall treaty for the Eurozone. Maybe the politicians were finally addressing the bigger picture. The other point was the supportive talk. The Fed might employ QE3 in the first quarter of 2012, buying some mortgage-based securities to help out in the housing market. So you had a lot of positive news, if you could call it that, today helping us bounce. And I think we're subject to the volatility that the outside markets create with the Eurozone issues as well as our own. So that'll direct the trade here for the better part of the next few weeks.
It didn't hurt that Black Friday seemed to go pretty well, too.
Black Friday did go really well, and I think that was another big key that maybe we won't be absorbed into the contagion that we're seeing over in Europe.
What are your bids for the day?
Bids today, 602 cash corn. Next fall, 2012, corn at 515. Cash soybeans, 1102, and new crop 2012 beans, 1106.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Thanks, Todd.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, stay with us. I'll be back in a couple of minutes with a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
In agricultural news, it's National French Toast Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1837, John Wesley Hyatt was born. He developed the process for making celluloid, the first synthetic plastic. He also invented a water purifying system, a sugarcane mill, and a widely used roller bearing. In 1863, Thanksgiving was first celebrated as a regular American holiday by proclamation of Abraham Lincoln. By the way, the first recorded Thanksgiving ceremony took place on September 8, 1565, when 600 Spanish settlers held a mass of Thanksgiving for their safe delivery to the New World, followed by a feast and celebration. In 1869, W.F. Semple of Mount Vernon, Ohio, was issued the first chewing gum patent. In 1942, coffee rationing began in the U.S. And in 2006, Texas Republican State Representative Betty Brown filed a bill in the state legislature which would declare Athens, Texas, as the original home of the hamburger. Residents of New Haven, Connecticut strongly objected. City fathers in New Haven say the hamburger was invented there at Lewis Lunch in 1900. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. Mark Russo at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago is now on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
And good afternoon, Todd.
Well, last week at this time, it was much more enjoyable, at least temperature-wise. But I suppose that was a little warm, and now it's a little blustery and cold and, gosh, rain and maybe even snow, I think, here in parts of the Corn Belt. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's kind of seeing reality here settle in here as more kind of typical late November weather has developed this week across the nation's midsection. And overall here, we expect still somewhat of an active pattern as these storm systems move from the plains on into the Midwest. So one system here in the Delta, eastern Midwest, going to come on up and produce some snow in the far northern section of the Midwest, particularly in northern Indiana and sections of Michigan here. But the eastern Corn Belt is the biggest kind of benefactor here of this precip. Maybe not beneficial at this time, but they get the highest totals with this system that's going to be coming through over the next 24 hours or so. And after that, another system here expected over the upcoming weekend, and quite a bit temperature variability coming up, but still no sign of any, you know, extreme or long-duration cold setting up here in the nation's midsection.
The rainfall that moves up the Ohio River Valley is pretty typical of a La Nina, is that right?
It is. It is here, Todd, and that is a pretty common theme here during the winter months as far as heavier precip in the Ohio River Valley. The one kind of precip area that's a bit unusual is actually the southern plains, which tends to be dry in a La Nina winter. And one of these storm systems affecting the Midwest coming up over the weekend, that's going to initially eject out from the desert southwest into the southern plains and actually produce widespread significant precip, including some snow from Nebraska all the way down to the Texas Panhandle. So that's going to include a lot of hard red winter wheat acreage. And so that's the unusual item here with this upcoming storm system, that it's occurring here during a La Nina winter.
The crop in South America was off to a very good start. Does it remain in good condition?
By and large, Todd, we see that continuing here into the early part of December. The only area that needs to be watched at the present time is Rio Grande do Sul in far southern Brazil. That area has been kind of missed out with the precip here over the past several weeks, and as a result is seeing 30-day precip deficits on the order of 1 to 3 inches. And we see limited rainfall across much of southern Brazil here coming up over the next couple weeks. So something to keep an eye on, not a big concern at this time, but certainly they're going to need more rain as we go kind of deeper into December.
Thank you so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Helps us wrap it up for the day. Be sure to visit our website. The address is WILLAG.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.